Well, I guess being from Indiana, or Indiana's where you're living now, that's how you got interested in this subject?
Yes, actually I live about 14 miles away from the town that is featured in this book, Newburgh, Indiana. And I just happened to stumble upon the story while I was actually researching my wife's great-great-grandfather, and I wanted to know why he enlisted in the summer of 1862. And it turns out the Adam Johnson's famous raid on Newburgh, Indiana, the first Confederate attack north of the Mason-Dixon line in the American Civil War, was the reason why he and thousands of others enlisted in the Union Army in the Civil War. So I tell people wherever I go that Adam Johnson put just as many people in Union blue as Confederate gray. He was a man who was loved in Kentucky, and as much as he was loved in Kentucky, he was reviled in Indiana, naturally as the natural enemy. So, you know, it's been my pleasure to come here and share a part of Adam Johnson's life that a lot of people don't know about in Central Texas.
What was the significance of Newburgh, and why did he? How would this help the South, I guess?
Okay, Adam Johnson was sent into Western Kentucky to recruit a Confederate regiment from Union-held Western Kentucky. He had to do everything. He had to recruit men. He had to lead missions for them, and he had to arm them. A lot of the recruits that he got from the countryside either were possessing squirrel guns or generational shotguns. And in order to basically stand up to Union troops, well-equipped Union troops in the field, he needed weapons. And he was told that there was a stash of Union muskets, some 200 muskets, in a riverside warehouse on Newburgh, Indiana. And immediately upon hearing this, he decided to make the connection and get the weapons to have him outfit his recruits in Western Kentucky.
Well, you, in the book, a successful raid, but it's fascinating the way you point out that this might have awakened, and you just sort of indicated that, the North.
Yes, very much so. Governor Oliver Morton, who was probably the foremost supporter of Lincoln in the Civil War, at least touted as one of Lincoln's foremost supporters in the war cause, personally came to Evansville, Indiana, to show off an infantry regiment personally put together by the governor in just 3 days with the explicit purpose to kill Adam Johnson. That was their mission of the 76th Indiana, and they were sent into Western Kentucky with orders to kill him, not capture him. He was to be killed because he was never officially recognized as a legitimate Confederate soldier until much later in the war, but of course he really was a Confederate soldier at that time. So very much so, and Adam Johnson is directly or at least partially responsible for putting at least 4 Union regiments in uniform from southern Indiana.
What was his life in the war, first of all, like after that? Where did he meander, I guess, and lead or fight for the next 3 years?
Yes, well, of course, directly following the Newburgh raid, he became a great folk hero to the Confederate cause in Western Kentucky. And after that, he attacked several other Union garrisons. He attacked and captured the 75th Ohio in Clarksville, Tennessee. He raided Shawneetown, Illinois. I tell people that Adam Johnson spent most of his Confederate career in Union-held territory in Kentucky, Illinois, and of course he was on Morgan's great raid through Indiana and Ohio, which eventually resulted in Morgan's capture and Adam Johnson swimming the Ohio River to escape the clutches of Union forces, rescuing people who were drowning, his own men who were drowning, as he swam across to Kentucky, to the southern side of the Ohio. So,
tell Burnett County folks, I guess, he got here and founded first take us after the war, and then, of course, he became blind.
Yes, of course, he was blinded August 21st, 1864, by an errant shot from his own men. It was a foggy day. There was a heavy mist on the ground in August at Grubbs Crossing in Kentucky. He had just captured a large complement of Union soldiers, and he was marching his captured soldiers back to his own lines. And when his men saw these Union soldiers marching toward their lines, they thought naturally they were going to be under attack, and they didn't know that Johnson had captured these men, and Johnson got shot and lost his eyesight. Even when he was laying on the ground completely sightless, his first commands were for his men to fall back and for his horses to be cared for, and then he was captured. He spent time in Union captivity and was exchanged in 1865. And begged Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederate States, to lead more troops in the field as a blind general. Never been done before. Secretary of War Breckinridge and Jefferson Davis refused, but Johnson would not leave the office until they agreed. And they finally relented, and they said if Adam Johnson could find anybody that would follow him, he could lead them in combat. He came across to the Trans-Mississippi, west of the Mississippi, found more than 100 men who were willing to follow him, and he was about to lead them into battle in Kentucky again when Robert E. Lee surrendered and the war was over.
Gosh, fascinating. Can you tell us how he founded Marble Falls and got into Burnett County?
Well, he came, of course, Burnett County, he spent the years between 20 and 28 here in Texas. He left Henderson when he was 20 to make his fortune in what was then West Texas, the frontier of Texas, which is now Central Texas and Burnett County. And he came back to the territory that he knew well. Of course, Texas, like much of the South, was devastated after the war, and he was poverty-stricken like almost everybody else was when they returned to Texas after the war was over. He used the memory of his surveying days when he became familiar with the territories here to basically survey and lay out land, and he knew what land was best for what purposes, and he bought various tracts of land and resold them and became a successful businessman and town founder of Marble Falls in the 1880s.
I would say, I could be wrong about this, but it seemed to me being blind then would be much harder than now.
For anyone but Adam Johnson. He was a quintessential American in the sense that regardless of whatever hurdle was put in front of him, he had an indomitable spirit that took him above that hurdle and beyond. The blindness did nothing to slow him down, and it certainly did nothing to shrink any dreams that he had. He used his children to transcribe his famous 1904 autobiography. He used his children to help him write letters to the correspondents. He kept up a very active correspondence with people in the area. And he was an extremely prominent businessman and not deterred one inch by blindness. Never was he. And as I tell people in my talks around the Midwest, he is a person, and I'm not aware of any other American with similar life experiences to Adam Rankin Johnson, a real jewel and a treasure for Burnett County and where he was born, Henderson, Kentucky, which also claims him as their own.
And he lived till when?
He lived into his, he died in 1992. Of course, he was 1922. I'm sorry, 1922. He was a personal friend of Lubbock. But his body was held in state at the state capitol for several days, and the governor, among many other notaries, notable personalities, came and presided over his funeral. He was a Texas hero of the highest order.
He must have been quite old.
He was in his late 80s.
Yeah, wow.
He was in his late 80s, and of course his family are residents here now. Jo Hammond is his granddaughter. She is still here in her 90s and as sharp as a tack. And Ross Johnson is a great-grandson, notable personality in town. And I've had an opportunity to meet them all and to spend time talking to them. And it's been absolutely great witnessing Adam Johnson's fingerprints throughout Central Texas, which is a part of the story I didn't know about, but I wanted to bring to Central Texas a part that they didn't know about.
Well, do you have plans to write more about him, or plans to write more?
I do have plans to write more. I tell people that I didn't want to write this book. I had to. I actually wanted to write another book, and I stumbled over Adam Johnson when I was researching my wife's great-great-grandfather. I wanted to know why he enlisted in the summer of 1862, and this man, Adam Rankin Johnson, and his invasion of Indiana. I think the headline said Indiana soil had been polluted by the foot of a Confederate. And that riled people up enough to get my wife's great-great-grandfather enlisted in the Union Army. So I'm going to go back to that and write the regimental history of the outfit that my wife's great-great-grandfather was in, my original project almost 4 years ago now.